Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening and welcome to Fun About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And we're your hosts through this weekly journey of all things fermented.
Archived on iTunes, Stitcher, and right here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
All right. So we're happy to be back on this Monday, April 21st.
The first Monday of the first New York City Queens Beer Week.
That's true.
Which we'll talk about more later.
What
else is going on, Mary?
We have a couple of exciting events. So first up is there is as part of the food book fair at the Wythe Hotel this weekend, Chris and I are pouring our beers as well as one of our very special guests tonight as part of a pop-up brew pub. So this is organized by Eric Steen, and it's going to be on April 27th, so that's Sunday, at the Wythe Hotel in Williamsburg. There's two sessions. There's going to be, I think, 25 homebrewers pouring some really super exciting beers, everything from a bourbon barrel-aged American brown ale to a Berliner Weiss. I think there's a sweet potato beer. There's all kinds of beers. Anyway, there's two sessions. There's one from 2 to 5 p.m. and one from 6 to 9 p.m. So tickets are still available, although they're going fast. So just Google, well, we could throw it up on Twitter. Otherwise, just Google Food Book Fair Brew Pub. It's going to be Sunday, April 27th. The second. Okay. Is this excellent fermenting event called Ferment. It's organized by Zach Schulman. It is also on Sunday. It's hard, but you can actually do both of them. So this is an event that's at 4 p.m. It's at the Brooklyn Free School on Clinton Avenue, again in Brooklyn. And it's basically an open fermenting event. So if you ferment, you are welcome to bring what you make. Everybody will put their stuff out on the table. There's going to be free workshops. There will be culture swaps. It's super, super fun. It's really donation-based, and you will learn a lot. So I would actually encourage you to do both of them.
You're saying I could go to the book fair at 2 and then leave around 4 and go to the Ferment.
Yep.
Or I could start at the Ferment and then go to the book fair and still have a good time.
Yes, we will
That's
be at both of them,
that
actually.
That is a bargain for me, and I'll be doing that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's really an exciting fermenting Sunday in Brooklyn. Honestly, if you live in New York City and you are interested in fermentation or fermented beverages or fermented foods, like, you should be excited about this Sunday, honestly. It's the Ferment event. I mean, we had everything from sweet potato fly to tapache to homemade crazy cheeses to naan to
pistachio cheese or the cashew cheese.
Yes, those were awesome. So amazing things. And then the last time that we had Eric on our show last week, last time we did this pop-up pub, again, amazing beers, just fantastic camaraderie. So yes, definitely do both of them. All right, I'm done. Don't miss out on Sunday.
Don't miss out. Sunday's fun. But before Sunday, a bunch of stuff is going on. It's Queens Beer Week. There's lots of stuff. And our friends in the studio today are from Queens, from Big Alice Brewing Company, Robert Crafton. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to the studio.
Well, you're not all who we have it here. Who do we have it here?
I'm Dipti.
Dipti? Yeah. And Corey?
Yep, and I'm Corey.
Corey, fantastic. So, Robert, you're one of the founders and you're the brewer for Big Alice Brewing Company. And who are these guys?
So these are two of our interns. We may be the smallest brewery in the city and maybe the state, but we probably have more interns than anybody else.
Not to mention some of the biggest beers, too.
Some of the big, yeah, biggest beers. That's why
big beers and big intern numbers.
Big intern, yeah. How big is your brewery? What is Big Alice? What's the name? We were starting in the beginning. It's hard because we know each other so well to kind of get back to basics for people who don't on the line. So let's just start at the beginning. You don't know me. I don't know you.
That's a lot of questions.
Who are you? Why are you?
Well, Big Alice, let's start there. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with us, but Big Alice is actually the power plant in Long Island City. Most people know it as those red and white striped smokestacks that you can see from Manhattan. And it's just a local landmark for us. You know, every time we've been working in the neighborhood for, depending on which partner of the brewery you're talking about, anywhere from 10 years to a couple of decades. And so every time we'd have relatives come to town or whatever it is, we'd always point to those smokestacks and say, yeah, that's where we work. As we were developing brewery names, which is an arduous process for those who haven't done it before, we came up with a lot of bad ones, and we kind of pointed at that thing and said, what's that called? And that ended up being Big Alice, so that's where we got the name from.
But you're not spelt the same way, is that correct?
We're not. There's a couple reasons. One is that... We live in a litigious society.
Yep.
So even though it's just a nickname for the generator there at the power plant, we thought that it might be wise to come up with a different spelling. So we spelled it as you would normally spell Alice and not as Alice Chalmers and West Alice, Wisconsin are spelled. As it turns out, we didn't know this at the time, but the name Alice contains LIC in it, which happens to be the initials of our neighborhood.
Long Island City, so yeah.
So that worked out pretty nicely.
Yeah. So BigAliceBrewing.com is where we find a lot of information about that. I'm just jumping to that so you don't go to Big A-L-L-I-S and find out power plant information and you know how to
correct.
Although it's probably some useful information.
Yeah. We actually had the guys from Big Alice, the ones that run the actual generator, come by for a private tasting really recently.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was so cool because they're in the neighborhood and they came by. They brought us a picture of, you know, that generator itself that isn't normally on view. So we have that in our tasting room now. And we can actually show people what it is.
So the people in charge of our electricity or our power, they're all just hammered on Big Alice Brewing.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
So you guys have a very unique brewery concept. So I met Robbie years ago at the Brooklyn Rod, which does not exist anymore.
I wasn't sure if you remembered that.
Of course I remember that. I made Amazaki for that. You were making crazy sourdoughs.
Yeah.
And beer. I think we were both making beer at that time.
I was making a little bit of beer, but it was mostly like sauerkraut and some cheeses. Yep. And I was making kvass and... Basically, I was going through the Wild Fermentation book by Sander Katz and just making one page after the next.
When did you decide to do Big Alice? And you're one half of the...
Well, one third.
One third.
Who are the others?
So there's Kyle Hurst. He's my brewing partner and basically the only guy that I've ever homebrewed with.
Mm-hmm.
He's been homebrewing since... I don't know. I guess before I was born. I'm not sure how old he is. But
he's timeless, man. Kyle is timeless. Yeah. He's chilling in Florida.
He's been drinking before it was allowed and brewing just about as long. He was raised in Wisconsin, and they're born with a beer bottle in their hands out there. So.
And you came up with the concept to do Big Alice to go the go.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have a very unique concept to your brewery. I mean, a good brewing plan. So you make very unique one-off beers.
We do.
So talk about that, because you do stuff that no one else does.
I do want to mention that we have a third partner, Scott Berger.
Yeah.
And we're all pseudo-related, so it's kind of a family team. But, yeah, so we do all one-off ales. We're brewing on a Sabco Brew Magic, so everything's 10 gallons, and... Basically, when you're making that little beer per batch, it doesn't matter how much time you spend brewing or how often you brew or whatever, you're just not going to make very much. So there's no sense in making a Pilsner or an IPA or a pale ale because you can brew all day long every day and you're still not going to have any beer at the end of it. So instead, we decided to really focus on making the kind of most unique specialist ales that we could, And we kind of came by that for a few different reasons, but essentially, you know, that's what we like to drink. So, you know, every time we go to the store, we're looking for that one special bottle that we haven't seen before, that new thing that just came out. And we thought, hey, wouldn't it be great if that's just what we brewed? If we just did the thing that every other brewery does once a year for fun, over and over again. So I've brewed about 120 different beers now.
Since you started in
January of last year. So it's all new stuff all the time. We're getting about 45 bottles per batch. They're all packaged in champagne bottles, corked with corks rated for 10 years, hand-tied hemp cords, bottle re-fermented. Everything takes about three months to come to market. So we really take our time. We're basically putting as much of everything as we possibly can into every beer.
Where do these bottles go?
They don't go very far.
That's another unique thing about you guys.
Yeah, so we do have a nice CSB program, which is a community-supported brewery. And that's a program where people from the neighborhood who, you know, can kind of wander over on a Friday night, it's available to them to come and pick up a couple of bottles. So people sign up ahead of time and they say, oh, I want X number of bottles per month. And then when they stop by, they pick out whatever they want. That way they have the beer waiting for them and it's ready to go. And we get to know our neighbors, which is really nice because we don't have enough beer to supply more than that anyway. So that's been going really nice for us. Other than that, we're not really available anywhere outside of the brewery for the most part. We're only open 2.5 hours a week. It's just Fridays from 5 to 7:30. We'd like to be open more, but we don't have any more beer than that. And then beyond that, like, the Queen's Kickshaw is a big supporter, so they'll regularly have bottles available for purchase by the glass. And we just picked up a new wholesale account for Queen's Beer Week, a restaurant in Astoria. And then Jimmy, of course, at Jimmy's number 43, mm-hmm. has us along with every new great brewery that you can think of.
You mentioned Queen's Beer Week. What is Queen's Beer Week?
So Queen's Beer Week is new this year, and we're all very excited about it.
Yeah.
Queen's as a brewery didn't have... Queen's as a brewery.
Queen's,
Queen's
a
should be a brewery.
There is a Queen's brewery. But
yeah.
Queen's
yeah.
as a borough.
Queen's yes. as a borough actually had no breweries a couple years ago. So the idea of a Queen's Beer Week would have been pretty ridiculous in even the most recent memory. But now I think we have more breweries than any other borough.
Absolutely.
And yeah. especially and yeah, especially since we had Transmitter open on Saturday yeah. and we got a bunch more in planning. So since we have all these breweries, it just became time where Queens needed its own Queen's Beer Week. And it's really been great so far to see the camaraderie. I mean, now we have 3 breweries in Long Island City, and it's really becoming a beer destination where people are out and walking around from brewery to brewery. Like, I can't tell you how many people came to our open house on Saturday and said, oh yeah, we were at Transmitter earlier, and then we walked over to Rockaway, and then we came to stop by and see you guys. And then they all ended up at Single Cut in the yeah. story at the end of the night.
That was a pretty awesome opening event and a lot of really great things happening. You can go to queensbeerweek.com to find out other events going on, I believe.
Yeah, there's events all week long.
So let's talk about, so kind of what we have not mentioned so much is that you make some very, very unique beers. So let's talk about some of your, some of the beers that you've made in your 120, how many?
It's exactly 120.
120 nice. Batches. So these are not, as he kind of shadowed before, these are not 120 normal beers. So let's right. talk about some of the outstanding beers that you remember. Some of the things, some of your favorites and your influences.
So we take kind of a wider view of beer. To us, it's not just those standard styles of Pilsner, Pale Ale, Porter, IPA, Stout, etc. You know, just kind of looking back towards history and saying that kind of anything and everything was fermented at different points, and really hops haven't even been that standard for very long. So when we're coming up with recipes, We're kind of all over the place. And basically, it's just been a labor of love to sit down every month and come up with 8 new recipes. So, you know, we get inspiration from all different places. We do a lot of beers with coffee, with tea, with hot peppers, with herbs, spices, produce.
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms mm-hmm. have shown up, I think, more than once now.
I think we're pinging you to talk about brewing with mushrooms in the second segment, I think.
Yeah. So it's all new all the time, and we've definitely started to kind of, which isn't to say like it's just completely all over the place. We do have kind of, you know, a standard format within which we work, and we are getting better and better at what we do, which is an actual thing. So most of our beers are higher in alcohol, and basically that just comes from using more grain. So we buy, you know, it's such a small system that in order to buy things in a large enough quantity that we can buy them at a decent price, we just end up with a lot of everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of order all my ingredients either from the Brooklyn Homebrew Shop or wherever it is, and then I divide them across the number of batches that I'm doing that month.
How many batches do you have a month?
We're at 8 batches a month right now, sometimes 10. It depends. We have a new conical, so.
It's exciting.
Yeah. So basically, once we have those kind of base recipes worked out, like, we'll have a starting point. I think for me, the thing I've been realizing recently is that pretty much everything we do is like a barley wine of one variety of another, but it's kind of boring to have like 10 barley wines on the board every single month. So we end up referring more to like the original base style that we started from. You know, so we are going to start from like the idea of like an IPA or a porter or whatever it is, but then we'll double or triple that, and then we'll, you know, layer in some other ingredient from the farmer's market or, you know, the tea aisle or the spice aisle or whatever it is that we haven't used before. So
awesome. And on that note, we're going to go to break.
Forget about it.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hey, 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 welcome back to
Flamin' About It
on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Enough about you, Robbie. Let's talk about your interests. Corey and Dipti, how are you guys? You guys are homebrewers from back, or at least Corey is.
As you said, I actually have a blog too, Brave Brew World, but I'm getting ready for the food book fair coming up next Sunday. You're already giving a nice little plug. I got a smoke saison that I prepared for that, so if anyone out there is considering, I definitely suggest stopping by.
Have you made smoked saisons before?
I have not, actually. This is my first time. Had a little bit of help with from Robbie coming up with the recipe, but picked up some Valley Malt, local upstate New York. Cherry Wood smoked malt, and just threw a bunch of leafy green hops in, so looking forward to it.
That's very exciting. So have you tasted it yet?
I gave it a little sip when we were bottling it, and it's got a nice little smokiness to it, so I'm pretty excited to see. It's going to come out to somewhere just south of 10%, so that's definitely Robbie's influence in there.
So as a home brewer and coming to intern at Big Alice Brewing Company, you know, you got a certain perspective of things, and you know, what has been the most shocking or impressive or like influential technique hitting Big Alice?
I think influential is pretty accurate, especially since, as we already went into, Robbie was mentioning the size of the system. It's somewhere in between large-scale home brewing and small-scale microbrewing, or nano-brewing, I guess, is the appropriate term. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's been a really key piece of my brewing education, sort of fitting somewhere in between. You know, if I do want to go forward with brewing and make a profession out of it, it's definitely something that's given me this sort of connection between home brewing and professional brewing.
Right.
So I'm going to interrupt this because you just poured us a beer. So what are we drinking here? Because you didn't actually mention a specific beer, which I think is we are remiss.
Kind of speaks to
what happens is that we've got all different beers all the time.
Right.
So people ask me what my favorite is.
And I want to know your favorite. I just want to know, you know.
I try to have like a favorite from each of the available beers. But this beer in particular, so basically we're experimenting all the time. When you're doing all one-off beers, you know, you kind of got to go for it. And interestingly enough, like, we kind of went for the most beer nerdiest brewery that we could do.
Which is awesome.
A lot of our customers aren't even like beer drinkers. You know, yep. They're local foodies or people that like want to know where their food came from, who made it, and they live in our neighborhood and they stop by and they say hi and they bring their kids and they bring their dogs and, you know, they want to have a relationship with us, which is amazing. And the fact that they're not beer drinkers kind of works out interestingly, just because a lot of our beer wouldn't be traditionally considered beer if you were German or English or any of those other traditional beer cultures.
So we are drinking the Parsley Duck Wheat Ale. So tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so like I said, every time we sit down to come up with new recipes, we're always trying to think of that thing that we haven't brewed with before. And people do tell us, oh, well, what's your favorite? And why don't you just brew that one over and over again? And the answer is that we've come up with some amazing beers and some beers that were interesting and good and, you know, kind of all over the map. And the thing is, if we don't keep brewing new things, we won't find those other beers that are great that we never made before, you know, in the first place. So even if there's a great beer, we like to move on and keep trying new stuff. So this is one that came out somewhere on the interesting scale. It's definitely not like anything I've had before.
I would agree. Well, I wouldn't. So I was trying to, when I first smelled this before I saw the label, I was like, wow, what is that? But it definitely is parsley.
Yeah. So it's parsley, and somehow the malt bill that I used has like a really nutty richness to it.
Yeah. Or even kind of like a jelly, like a Belgian dark strong jelly kind of thing, which I like actually.
Yeah.
I think this is really quite delightful.
Yeah.
But parsley, right? Parsley is always a finishing herb. I mean.
So how did you use the parsley?
So I think it works well.
So we use the parsley much like you'd use aroma hops. We put it right in at the end of the boil. Mm-hmm. The trick with
heat is off.
Yeah. The trick with being as small as we are is that we're not at the brewery every day. Basically, I brew 4 or 5 days in a row, and I fill up all my fermenters. I have 8 to 10 sets depending on the month, and then once it's done, I go home for a couple of weeks. So basically, you know, we kind of spend a week preparing for brewing, we spend a week brewing, spend a week recovering from brewing, a week of productive time forming relationships and sampling the beer and that stuff, and then we're back to preparing for brewing again.
Where does Corey and Dipti come in?
Yep.
They come in during the brewing.
So tell us about yourself.
So I'm basically a microbiologist.
Okay.
Yeah, who used to work at a brewery in India. And I moved here just about 7 months ago. And I got in touch with Big Alice, and Robbie got back in touch and said, sure, you can come and help out. And I just went there and...
I said it just like that. Sure, you can come and help out.
Yeah, so it's been a great experience so far, and yeah.
So she's this is the quality control
department.
So how
does that contrast to your experience before?
It's definitely different. Like,
I think that's the understatement of the night.
Well, what was it like in India, at the brewery in India?
Okay, so we basically we had a fixed system where we were finalizing our recipes, and we didn't have any one-off beers. So we were very particular about what went into every beer.
So quality control.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a microbiologist does that. So so that's where I found it really different from what I used to do, and it's a good learning experience, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah, we do so much of everything that the homebrewers that come by are constantly exposed to new stuff. And it's been kind of cool because a lot of them don't have all that much experience. Some of them do, but some of them don't. And mm-hmm. So just to have that fresh perspective on brewing also brings a lot to us. Like, they ask me questions that I would have never even thought were questions. And it really gets me thinking about the process, and I have to go back and, you know, re-research things and make sure that, like, I'm really up to snuff on basics.
Being the mentor you...
Yeah,
I will say he does always sound pretty sure when he's giving me answers. So.
No doubt.
Yeah,
that's what I practice the most.
Sounding right.
Yeah, exactly.
Not being right, sounding right. That's amazing.
So Corey, has your experience, you know, I mean, otherwise, other than you said, you know, you've never done a smoked saison before, have you had other inspiration from them?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that every time I walk through those doors, there's something new or inspiring going on. I remember walking in there the first day, there was a banana habanero beer.
Awesome.
And that one kind of just floored me. I was like, well, I can't even fathom this right now. But no, it's definitely inspiring. Like I said, it's always a new challenge. I don't know how he thinks of these recipes. I usually try to pester him about them, and he comes up with some really modest response.
So I want to know the modest response is to how do you use banana in your beer? Where did you put the banana in? Did you mash it? Did you put it in? What happened with the banana?
Well, a while back I made a sun-dried tomato chipotle chocolate nib beer, and I didn't realize that tomatoes actually contain quite a bit of pectin. Mm-hmm. So I might have thrown them in the boil and might have set some of the pectin and might have had a super thick, luxurious...
Mm-hmm.
yeah, it was crazy thick and weird. And people loved it because, I mean, frankly, it's a tomato, chocolate, chipotle beer, and, like, who's not going to get excited about that?
It's a Bloody Mary beer.
And I'd say that's probably one of the luxuries also is with all my questions. Robbie's been through a lot being that he's tried this whole smorgasbord of ingredients. So usually if I have a question about – it's definitely something a lot more simple than what he's been used to, but he usually has a pretty clear-cut answer.
So yeah. For that, you learned pectins, and how about when it came to banana?
So what I realized was that you have to be super careful with a lot of this produce that, like, you're not familiar with, that it does have pectins, and if you boil it, you're probably going to set those pectins, and your beer is probably going to have, like, the body of a Mack truck, which is not cool.
Sexy.
So you got to be careful. You got to start your chilling process on your beer before you add some of these things.
Oh, yeah.
Bring your beer down to a good, safe level, then introduce the fruit. It's got to be hot enough to sanitize the fruit, but low enough so you're not setting the pectins.
Have you ever used pectinase or anything?
I have not.
I haven't either. I'm always curious about that.
Yeah, you know, it
seems like cheating.
It seems like it would solve some of my problems, but it also seems like if I just did it right in the first place, I wouldn't need it.
Yep.
So a lot of things now I'm actually simmering in a separate pot on a separate burner, and I'm adding them to the fermenter before I put the beer in so that by mm-hmm. the time the cool wort hits all that fruit, it yep. cools it down nice and good.
You're keeping your aroma.
And I don't have to worry about any pectins getting set.
Yep.
So
makes sense.
I blended up the bananas, got them nice and slurry like, so that the yeast could really get all over them. And I just heated them moderately and added them to the fermenter. I will say that that was the craziest fermentation we have ever had. And so we used 15.5-gallon fermenters, modified kegs, and we put 10 gallons into that keg. And 5 gallons of it jumped out,
oh my God.
Which was pretty annoying, as was like all over the floor of the walk-in and disgusting. And we only ended up with like 20 bottles of that one. But when that happens, those go to the CSB members first.
Yeah.
And they were like 5 gallons of super delicious beer, but I made 10 gallons and 5 ended up on the floor. So bananas can be definitely a little tricky, for those of you out there thinking about it.
I'm currently thinking about that. I want to make a banana Hefeweizen, or banana, even though there's already banana in some of that, but I want to do some of that. Our beer is still on, by the way. It's still rolling. The Big Alasaka Holiday. We did a collaboration, and it is a graph. What is a graph?
A graph?
Matthew, you answer these questions.
I don't think a graph really exists.
It does right
it does,
now.
It does.
But if it did exist outside of the world of fiction, then it would be a hybrid beer cider.
Where in fiction did it first come out? Or appear?
I'm not that nerdy.
Oh, well, I heard. Well, you're our friend Kyle Hurst, who couldn't join us today.
He's
he
in
says
Florida
it started.
On his family
he
vacation.
Said it was like some J.R.R. Tolkien kind of thing.
That's what he said.
That's what he said. I don't know. Of course, it was. You
that
know,
does sound
we've been drinking
J.R.R.
a little bit,
Tolkien.
But I believe it. He said it. I believe he said it like he knew what he was talking about.
See, that's the most important thing about brewing. It's a lot of accidents and a lot of covering it up.
But the beer is really good, and it's really fun to have that. I mean, the body is lighter than a normal beer because the cider kind of or the cider nature that fermented out a lot of the sugars. It's a really cool and a fun beer, and thanks for bringing it to the table. That's what I have to say about that. But also, the CSB. Is there any more room in the CSB? Do you guys do this on an annual basis? How long is a membership, and what happens there?
So it's a semi-annual membership. So we run it calendar year. January to June, July to December, which means right now it's currently closed, but it's going to open back up for sales in June for the second half of the year.
That's very exciting.
You got to get you have to sign up on your mailing list, right, to find out when that comes about first.
You can if you sign up. Well, yeah. So we don't send out that many emails for our mailing list,
but you
list.
Do. But I always get the CSB emails. I would
yes.
say. I mean, yeah.
Those are probably the only ones we send out.
Right.
But we're always on Twitter and Facebook with all of our latest developments, so that's a good place to follow us. And basically, at this point, if you come in any Friday from 5 to 7:30 in June, you can pick up a CSB membership.
Awesome.
We are working with some actual CSAs, so we're working with the LIC CSA, Astoria, Sunnyside. So we're going to see how those do. If we sell kind of an extra lot of those, then we might sell a few less out of the brewery, but it's all still fairly fluid and flexible. We are, after all, a very small company, and things change on a regular basis.
So what else? Do you guys have any other events for Queen's Beer Week?
We do. Most of them are, however, sold out, which was kind of sad for me. I went to promote them all a few weeks ago, and they were all sold out pretty much right when they went on
sale.
Well,
tell us what they are anyway. I want to know so I can be jealous.
So, let's see. This week, we have a field trip from the Brooklyn Brainery. That's going to be Thursday night. I think it's sold out, but, you know.
Get on wait list. There's probably a wait list, just in case. Yeah.
Friday, we're going to be at the Five Borough Festival.
We'll see you there. We're serving beer there as
Chris
well.
Chris is also serving beer there.
Excellent.
Even though I'm not from Queens.
The first craft beer festival in Long Island City. There are still tickets to that one, so that would be one that you could definitely check
out. And that'll
out.
Be great. I think there's going to be a lot of good breweries there. We're going to serve our...
Blackberry Burlesque. Blackberry Berlin Weiss. 2.9%. Delicious.
Pillow talk number three. You know.
We're going to go as the well opposite as... way on that.
that's exactly why, this is going to be right awesome.
Yeah, you can be on one side. Finback's going to be on the other side.
Sweet. Sweet.
So 2.9% probably for our beers, plus about 10. I think we're going to have a double smoked brown ale and a... what is it? Rye, oat, and cherry pepper stout.
Nice.
It's pretty spicy and delicious. They're both on cask because everything we do is naturally carbonated.
Right.
And so when we do these big events, we always bring a couple of pins with us.
Cool.
So then Saturday, we have a Josh Bernstein tour, homebrew to pro brew. We're going to get behind the scenes at all three LIC breweries and see what it's like to start your own brewery as a home brewer. It's not as pretty as it seems on the surface, but everybody who goes on the tour will figure that out. Then we have an Urban Oyster NYC tour, I think a private tour. You can actually book them out for your entire group if you can fill up the whole thing.
Cool.
And then when that's done, we're going to head over to Finback for their grand opening of their tasting room, their open house.
That's on Saturday, right?
Yeah. Yep. Again, I think that one's sold out. But, you know, if you show up outside the door, maybe they'll let you in because they have a really big space. Yeah. And
they're good guys.
They're very nice. Yeah. Very polite.
With that, we have to bid.
Yeah, we have to wrap up. But thank you, Robbie and Corey. Dipti. And we look forward to seeing you. Well, we'll definitely see you Friday night. But... if you can get, I mean, if that you guys
that,
out
that
there.
That silence was Mary's awesome affirming nod.
I'm so happy to
Robbie
be here.
Being awesome.
Yeah.
I've never felt a warmer feeling enter my body.
If you all out there can get your hands on some Big Alice beer, I really strongly encourage you.
Honestly,
otherwise,
there's only 20 bottles left in our walk-in right now because Queen's Beer Week is totally.
So, first 20, get over there now. Foment about it. Thanks for listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Foment about it.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.